And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 827. Continuing our team-by-team previews to get you ready for the 2026 fantasy baseball season. We're sticking in the NL Central with the Milwaukee Brewers, a team that keeps winning every year. They keep trying to give away their best players, and they keep winning. So it's quite the franchise there to watch and root for. And I'm sad that one of my favorites is gone now, but we will talk about that much, much more with a friend of mine and a friend of the show. He's helped me preview the Brewers each and every season of this preview. And you can find him all over the place. And, you know, he trolls on certain shows and gives the, you know, was it the Fish Happy Hour, Fish Minute, or whatever they call it. It's different all the time. But the one, the only, John Fish. How we doing, my friend?
I'm good, Bubba. Thanks for having me on. Looking forward to talking about the Brew Crew again this year. And I know I've kind of talked down on them over the last couple of years, and they've proven me wrong. So I have a feeling that I'm going to be talking down on them again tonight. But let's see how it goes.
But that's why I love these previews, getting fans on, but they also know fantasy baseball at the same time. So it's like, Either the episode is fully I'm excited about almost every player, or it's I'm not happy about any of it. It's just there's really never a happy medium between the two, so it's always great. Like I was telling some people, I have the Cardinals episode later this week with Matt Thompson. That's going to be an electric factory because he's usually the most negative person about a team and what they've done this offseason. It's going to be prime just picking them apart, so that'll be good. All right, first question I give every person on this show is, what was your thoughts on how 2025 went for the Milwaukee Brewers?
I mean, obviously it was very good. They, you know, had the best record of baseball in the regular season. You know, their pitching was much better than I ever would have dreamed of because it just, you know, obviously Woodruff with his injury issues, but all of a sudden he comes back and was – ridiculous. It's basically a new pitcher, essentially. Freddie Peralta was fantastic. And then you got, you know, Quinn Priester. You get, like, he was just insane. Like, you just look at what he did before coming to Milwaukee. And then all of a sudden, he turned into something. Bullpen was where I had the most concern, actually. And they were good. I mean, Abner Uribe is awesome. McGill was awesome, you know, for pretty much the whole year. So they definitely way overperformed than what everybody would have thought. But, you know, as usual, they're basically built for the regular season. They're not built for the postseason where you need like stud aces and some power. I mean, you can't just rely on small ball all the time. And obviously they ran into the buzzsaw of the Dodgers, and I'm just happy they beat the Cubs. Like that was fantastic. But yeah, you know, they ran into the Dodgers and they had a chance in game one, and yeah, it was all downhill after that, but they did have a chance in game one, and who knows, maybe the series can turn a little bit more in their favor with a little momentum. But, you know, once you lose that game one the way they did, that was basically the beginning of the end.
As you said, it's tough. We say, I think every time we've done this preview with the Brewers, is that rotation's always like their hindrance, as you mentioned. And it's, if you're not winning that first one with the big dog, it's going to be tricky against the Dodgers. So, yeah, Dodgers, we've seen are beatable, but you got to put the full series together, as the Jays found out and the Phillies found out. All right, let's get into the players for the Milwaukee Brewers 2026 season. We'll start with Jackson Chourio, a guy that I've always been a gigantic fan of, but it's kind of like, what's the, like, can you put the full season in? Like last year he had the injury, still went 21-21, hit 270, which is awesome. He had 21-22, 275 in his rookie year. Like, he's been great. He's only 22 years old. ADP is around 20 over the last 7 days in DCs. What are your expectations for Chourio? Because it's like, 2020 is awesome. Like, he could still be very good, but you're almost paying a price where you're expecting 30-30 from him. Almost.
I'm in at that price. You know, he was basically on pace for, you know, at least 25-25 last year. I played 131 games. So, you know, somebody at his age, they're not going to have any scheduled days off. So basically if he's healthy for the whole season, you're probably expecting 155 games, I would think. because obviously very rare anybody plays 162. You know, he's not Matt Olson, who seems to never miss any games. But, you know, you expect 155 games or so. And he was, I mean, he was just, he's awesome. Like, we still haven't seen his best season yet. Like, that's the thing here. So not only are you paying for, I mean, probably 25-25 again, as long as he is healthy, but there's upside for more. Like you said, he's only going to be 22 this year. So he clearly has not into his prime yet. So being as good as he is right now, I just think that he's a smash at that ADP. Like, again, I, as you know, and most people know, I don't like to take hitters in the first couple of rounds that don't steal bases. Yep. So, you know, I'm taking him over Caminero. I'm taking him over Kurtz. I'm taking him over Vlad. I'm taking him over Cal Raleigh. Like, it's just, that's exactly what it's the profile I'm looking for. So, like, if you're drafting at the back end of the first, you know, pairing him with Gunner or Francisco Lindor or doubling up at outfield with Kyle Tucker, like, I just think that's such an elite start to a draft. So, yeah, I'm all in on Churio. I love the price.
Yep, I love it too, because I feel like he's kind of like a it's weird to say at ADP 20, but it's like a poor man's Kyle Tucker, because everyone's taking Tucker like the round before, I'm almost in the same spot, when to me a full year of Churio is probably pretty darn close to Kyle Tucker. But yeah, I'm a Churio fan. I've been forever. I said, if there's like entering last year, I said, if there's a player that could ever be close to that Acuna 40-40 guy, it's Churio. Like, that's just the profile we see, but I don't know when we'll see it. I know we will someday. 22 years old, you never know. Could be this year. All right, let's talk King William. William Contreras, one of the best catchers in baseball for me. It's like, yes, the big dumper is great. I'll give him his respect, but William's pretty dang awesome, especially playing through that broken finger all season, still at 260, 17-6, and finished actually really strong with the injury. ADP is around 53, very affordable right now for his skill set. What are your thoughts on William Contreras? Because, yes, he doesn't steal, but he's also not a first or second round pick.
Yeah, so as far as catchers, he's probably one of the first catchers that I'm interested in possibly taking. I don't have a ton of him, but in the fourth round is generally where I'm not going to take a catcher in the first three rounds. So fourth round is generally in 15 teamers, obviously, is what I'm talking about here. He's definitely somebody I'm interested in, because he's the rare catcher, one of the rare catchers that can give you five categories. He doesn't steal a ton of bases, but when you're getting 6 to 10 stolen bases from a catcher, that's fantastic. He had the finger issue last year, that we all know about, but even through the finger injury, he still played 150 games. So getting a lot of plate appearances from a catcher is very, very valuable. He's a huge asset in runs. You know, he's not quite the power hitter some of the other catchers are that are going around him, but he's just more of the total package. So I'm in. Again, I don't have a lot of shares, but I'm okay with that price in the fourth round.
Yeah, I don't take too many catchers early, I should say, but he would be the first one. I agree with you 100%, because it is that plate appearance upside. And let's just imagine a healthy William, which is, you know, every catcher gets banged up, but we know what he can do when fully healthy, and that's pretty dang good. And he actually at least adds a few steals. It doesn't just leave you empty like other catchers will.
Right, yeah.
Christian Yelich, always dealing with a back problem, it feels like, but did play 150 games last year, which is great. 29 homers, 16 steals, 264, but only played 19 games in the outfield. So he's util only, and I don't know if he'll get outfield the way they got that roster set up. That's the downside. ADP's 130. Like, if he was an outfielder, that's a steal. But at util, I know there's still, you know, the util only thing people get worried about. But you can still build around that if you want. What's your thoughts on Christian Yelich? Because it seems like a great price. It's just, I guess, the position's the part that might keep people a little turned off.
Yeah, he's tricky for me. I think this is going to be the first year I'm off Yelich. He was fantastic last year, just like a lot of the Brewers players. I just have some concerns. I mean, this is last year is his first time he hit over 20 home runs since 2019. And he hit 29, which is obviously great. He's going to be 34 this year, so he's getting older. Obviously, he got the back issues. He's been a fantastic Brewer ever since they traded for him. done everything they've asked. Everything's great. The UT only is a little bit of an issue. Obviously, if you're taking Ohtani, if you're taking Schwarber, like, he's just immediately off your board. So I don't think I have any Christian Yelich yet this year. I don't envision taking him because I see a little more downside than some of the other players that are going in that range.
Yeah, I have zero Yelich right now as well, and like the guy, like him a lot, and the last season was outstanding, but I have so many questions, kind of like you do, of what was that the ceiling and we're just never going to see it again, or what are we going to see again? There's just levels to it, and I laugh, you probably know, being a Brewers fan and a diehard fantasy player as well, that he was in the lineup for his 20th outfield game late in the season, and it rained out. I remember that very clearly because so many of us were excited going, okay, he's going to get it again. And then the last like 2 weeks, it was just straight DH again after that. So, yep, couldn't do it. All right, can't wait to get your thoughts on this one because I have a hunch where it's going. But we'll see. Bryce Tarang, talk about career seasons, 18 homers, 24 steals, 288 average. So best average he's had. Steals like the lowest of his career, but still 24 will take all day. 18 homers, people have well documented the swing changes. But now with Bryce Tarang, you have to pay with an ADP of around 60, if you believe in all this. Now, if he does that again at second base, not shabby. But what are your thoughts on Bryce Tarang? Because, yes, the changes were documented, but I am still slightly concerned.
Yeah, I don't have any Bryce Tarang. Again, another guy that had a great season last year. If you look at the home run per fly ball, and I know he did make some changes, so the home run per fly ball is probably going to go up. But if you look at the two previous years, 5%, 6%, and then last year was 13.3%. Is 13.3% repeatable? I don't know. I'm banking on no. He also had a 356 BABIP last year, which he's obviously fast and, you know, it doesn't K a lot, but that's probably not going to be repeatable either. So it's tricky though, because second base is not a very good position. It's not very deep. So a lot of people like to just get that second base out of the way. I've seen him go. I think works in certain builds. Like if you have a Judge or something in the first, or Ohtani, early fifth, I don't hate it. Would I do it? No, but I don't hate it. I get it, because obviously you're going to get you're probably a closer in there and some starting pitching. So you're going to need some speed. And so I definitely understand why he goes where he goes. But I'm just going to – I don't know. It's too expensive of a price for me. If I see downside, which I do, in home runs and batting average, because of the two things I mentioned – it leaves me with, if he's only a 24 stolen base guy, it's not enough. I need more if he's if those two other things are coming down. So I'm out on Bryce Tarang as of now.
Yep, zero shares here as well. All right, Andrew Vaughn, we've known the struggles with the White Sox. Like, his end of year stat line where you draft him is usually not horrible. Like, he's a good CI or whatever. But there's always been higher expectations for a former first-round pick. Gets traded to Milwaukee, lights the world on fire. September, not so much with Andrew Vaughn. What are your thoughts this year with Vaughn? Because, again, coming off that really, really hot run, slowed down, ADP's 282.
I think the price is fine on him. I don't want him as my starting first baseman, but I can get behind him as my corner infielder. He's going to be hitting in a good spot in the lineup. Now, they do still have Jake Bowers there, so I would imagine Jake Bowers is going to, if Vaughn struggles, I could see Jake Bowers stealing some at-bats against righties. But, Vaughn's getting paid over $7 million, so it's a lot for a Brewers player. I think they're gonna ride him as long as they can. And I just think he's at a good spot to get a lot of RBIs, because one thing the Brewers do well is they run the bases well. They're mostly all fast, a lot of good walk rates. And I think Andrew Vaughn, he might not give you the big home run totals, but I think he can hit a lot of doubles, which is going to create a lot of RBI opportunities. Now, as far as the runs category, I think that's where he might struggle, because if you look at what's hitting behind Vaughn, it's not great. So, you know, I don't, again, he's another guy that I don't really have a whole lot of, but I don't, the price is fine. And I think he's fine as a CI.
That's good to hear though, because like I totally agree with. It's been, I've seen so many people like worried about the platoon situations because the way September went, but and to your point, $7 million is a lot for the Brewers. So that does check out as a potential, at least rather regular player. Like, heck, they were starting Reese Hoskins every day until he got hurt. So it's not like they've proven they won't do it. Now you mentioned the rest of the lineup. Now we're getting to get to that. Sal Frelick, this is another guy, you know, 12 homers, 19 steals at .288. I just don't know where this came from. Again, maybe he's actually good. He's 25. It's just he's never really shown it, so I've never really paid attention to Sal Frelick. His ADP is .211, which now you're entering outfielder 4 or 5 territory, which if he puts those numbers up, outstanding. But what are your thoughts on Sal after that big season? As it's a trend, a lot of Brewers had big seasons last year.
Yeah, the power kind of, just like Terang, kind of came out of nowhere. Now, he's always been a good OBP guy. He's a fan favorite. Murphy loves him. He did hurt his knee in May, so I think that affected some of his stolen base totals. But, you know, I think he's a good average bet and stolen base guy. Again, he's going to fit certain builds. I don't know what we're going to get for the power, though. It's just another thing where the power kind of came out of nowhere. And I just don't know. I don't know what to think with power-wise. But I think the batting average is going to be just fine. And he's going to play every day as long as he's healthy. So,
yeah, it makes me wonder, like, why is he not higher up in the batting order? But I guess the guys up there are really good. But he seems like a table setter that could do some damage. And maybe that'll happen at some point in time. Caleb Durbin, who I've kind of been a fan of last year, was up and down, but still finished 11 homers, 18 steals, .256, which when we're talking third base with an ADP of .231 is actually pretty good. He should play every day, it sounds like. But what are your thoughts on Durbin, his first year in Milwaukee, and now hopefully comfortable with the team?
Yeah, I don't understand why he wasn't up to start the season. I mean, they messed around with Vinny Capra, I believe his name was, and there was somebody else, and I'm like, what are we doing? Like, just play your best players, right? And you have him, so give him a shot, right? As far as the season went, I had a lot of Caleb Durbin, but I thought he would steal a lot more, to be honest with you. I don't know what happened. I mean, he had 18 steals, which is fine, but I mean, if you look at the, you know, what he did in the minors, it was ridiculous. And in the Arizona Fall League, he's a stolen base machine. And it just seemed like he didn't, I don't know. He got caught 6 times. It did have 18 steals, but like he had 31 steals in the minors the year before. And I just thought he would run a lot more, but the 11 home runs were nice because I think a lot of people weren't expecting a lot of power from him. So I think that, you know, what you got out of that was great. I don't have a lot this year. I don't know. I just, the Brewers, I don't know. I'm not a homer when I draft. So, you know, if I'm drafting a third baseman, I want power. So it's just tough for me to have a build where he fits at third base or corner even, because I want power from the corner as well. So it's kind of just a building it. Now, if he was like second base eligible, I'd be all over it. He would be a huge target for me. But, you know, just getting 10 to 11 home runs from third base or corner infield is just not, it's just not good enough and for me.
Yeah, I liked him a lot last year as well, and obviously that didn't pan out early on. And if he kind of hung with it, it was okay. But yeah, to your point, that's kind of like the theme this season: middle infield, you want steals; corners and outfield, you want power. Like, there's just like the way the builds, like shortstop, you obviously get power too. But like there's certain things you want to leave the draft room with, because corners usually not giving you steals. Now Durbin gives you steals. Like, he's kind of a poor man's Michael Garcia in a weird way. If you like that kind of builds, like you said, it could build with a certain build, it works, but you got a really short power, and it's every season. It seems like one of the common themes most people say, like, what do they want to do better next year, is draft power. So Caleb Durbin kind of puts a hamper on that. But then again, he is very, very affordable if you build appropriately. Now, this is a guy that I kind of was excited for last year just because he was so cheap, but he's really cheap again this year, but I'm not nearly as excited. Joey Ortiz, 7 homers, 14 steals, hit .230 last year. He's the starting shortstop. His ADP is .416. So if you want a starter in a DC that late, that's pretty sweet. But the stat line's different.
Yeah, I mean, thankfully he is ridiculously elite with the glove, because otherwise he wouldn't be on the major league field. His hitting was atrocious last year. I don't know how many at-bats he had with the bases loaded, but it seemed like every single game he was coming up with the bases loaded and doing nothing. It was almost like the Brewers decided they wanted to go ahead and have a pitcher in the lineup, like the old days in the NL, because that's essentially what it was. He hit .230, had 7 home runs. He did steal 14 bases, which was nice. That's what, you know, it's just typical Brewer. That's what they do. But I definitely don't have any interest in fantasy, I can tell you that. You know, they just traded for Jet Williams in that Freddie Peralta trade. Still probably a year or two away, but you got, you know, Jesus Mate and coming up. So I don't know. I think they're going to ride Ortiz again just because of the glove. But I for fantasy, I have no interest. None at all.
Yeah, it's rough. Like I said, it's just like a DC if you want a total depth piece for accumulations. I'm like, yeah, I still don't think I've drafted a single share of Joey Ortiz yet. But it's I get the argument, but it's not appealing by any means. All right, the last thing I got here for the bats, like Garrett Mitchell, who I've always been in love with, but he can't stay healthy, but apparently he's going to be healthy to start the year, but he might be platooning with Blake Perkins or someone else. How do you see that last outfield position coming to be?
Man, I have no idea. Yeah, Mitchell cannot stay on the field. He's great defensively. Blake Perkins is great too, defensively, but I honestly have no idea. I have no idea what's going to happen here. I think that it's going to be Mitchell's job to lose, but I don't know. I have taken a couple shares because, again, it's like your 9th or 10th outfielder in a DC. Everybody's always looking for speed. So it is the one thing he can do is speed. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with center field. Time will tell, I guess.
Yeah, Garrett Mitchell's ADP is .490 over the last 7 days in DC. So, yeah, very, very cheap. If he does take the strong side platoon there and stays healthy, probably get your money's worth, that's for sure. But a lot of big ifs in that scenario. And plus, they've got some depth potentially in the outfield in the minors if they so choose. Wish they still had Joey Weimer, but that's a thing of the past. Let's go to the mound. Woody. Brandon Woodruff finally got back to the mound last year, sort of. He made 12 starts, and it was 12 really good starts, but then there's still hiccups along the way. It took forever to get there because of the hiccups, and then a little slow after that. But through the innings, ADP's .115. I think if he's healthy at his age, they're going to keep throwing him, but that healthy part's a big question. So I have not drafted Brandon Woodruff, but I love the skills. I just haven't drafted him. What are your thoughts on Woodruff right now?
Yeah, Brandon Woodruff's my favorite Brewer pitcher ever. Unfortunately, I am way out for fantasy. I think it's crazy where he's going for a price. If you look at the last couple of years, 64 innings. Again, you mentioned it, just all the injuries. I think he had the longest rehab stint ever.
It's his last rehab start. Nope, never mind. He's hurt again.
Yeah.
Linebacker off the nuts or whatever it was. It was like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, it was just one thing after another. And then, you know, I think the season ended up with a lat issue. I am way out on Brandon Woodruff. He's not even in consideration for me where he's going in drafts. I think it's kind of crazy, to be honest with you. There's so many good pitchers around there. Like, I don't know why people are taking him. Now, he kind of changed the type of pitcher he was, right? Like, he lost a couple miles an hour on his fastball, but he still put up elite numbers and he still had good K rates. So, mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I just, I hope he's great because I'm a Brewers fan, but for fantasy, I'm going elsewhere.
I'm glad you said it, because I've been baffled by the ADP of like .115, because Like, if you're not aggressive on pitching, that's an SP2, and like there's zero, he'd have to at least be my three to even consider it, and that's just not going to happen. So I've been confused with you on that ADP compared to the other options that are hanging around there, to your point. All right, the Miz. It was an electric factory when he came up. The control was always a question. He had his ups and downs, and it was showcased in the ratios, but strikeout stuff was elite. That was big boy stuff, and he ended up making 14 starts, which is pretty nice. You know, innings control, but between the minors and the bigs, nearly 130 innings. So he's stretched out. ADP's 140, like he's going after Woodruff. What are your thoughts on Miz? Because the control still concerns me for fantasy, but I know the ceiling is immense with him if he figures that out.
Yeah, it's a common theme here. I'm out on him as well. Again, the price is just there's so many good pitchers around that range, but a lot of times it's the way I draft too. I take a lot of starting pitching early, so a lot of times I'm looking for hitters in that range. But yeah, as far as like him, the control is, you don't know what you're going to get. He was great last year. He made the All-Star team, which was kind of a joke, to be honest with you. It was so ridiculous. And then, you know, he kind of lost his way a little bit, and then he was good again in the playoff. Like, he has electric stuff. It's just, can he harness it, right? And then at the same time, avoid injury, because when you're throwing that hard, you know, you're a little bit higher risk for injury. So yeah, I'm out again. Like I said, there's just way too many good pitchers that are going right in that range. So yeah, I'm out.
I see you've been at the Dr. Dave school of injuries. So that's good. You got that one locked in. I feel like you might be more interested in this guy because you mentioned his name earlier and price is much different. That's Quinn Priester, who I was joking on a recent Bubba in the Bloom. He's only 25. Could have fooled me there. I thought he's been around forever through the Pittsburgh system and then Boston. We had 157 innings last year, good ratios. You know, strikeouts could be better if you really wanted them to be, but ADP is 277. Much more palatable, it feels like. What's your thoughts on Quinn Priester entering a second season with the Brewers?
I'm out on him as well.
Oh, wow. I thought you would have been in on him.
Wow. Yeah. I'm hoping he's good because he's on my team, but like, I don't know. I can't not look at the rest of what he's done leading up to this and just be like, oh, okay, now he's good. 3.32 ERA. Now he's a low threes ERA guy. I don't see it. The swinging strike isn't great. Like the Ks aren't there. The walks aren't, they're not bad, but they're also not elite. I do like the fact that he does throw a lot of ground balls. So that's going to help keep the ball in the yard. But fantasy wise, you're looking for strikeouts. You're looking for upside. I don't see a whole lot of upside with him. But yeah, I mean, as far as a rotation, you know, a depth piece, or you know, just like a guy's gonna take the ball every 5 days, I get it for fantasy. But yeah, I'm looking elsewhere other than Quinn Priester.
What about Chad Patrick? Can I entice? No, I'm just kidding. He's definitely filling a rotation spot for now. It feels like 119 innings with the Brewers last year. Again, good ratios, better strikeouts than Priester. ADP is 322 with Chad Patrick. So I could at least see a little tick of upside with Patrick at that price. But what are your thoughts on Mr. Patrick?
I loved Patrick out of the bullpen in the playoffs. I thought that was awesome. I wish they would keep him in the bullpen. Obviously, they need some arms in the, you know, in the rotation and stuff like that. Logan Henderson's going to be coming back with his injury. You got Mizorowski's probably not going to be throwing 200 innings, right? You got Woodruff with his injury woes, so they're probably going to keep Patrick stretched out and like, you know, in the rotation. But I wish they would put him in the bullpen because I thought he was awesome. He can give you one, two innings. He can go three innings. Like, I just thought that he excelled in that role. But as far as a starter, he's fine, I guess. Like, he's another guy that I just don't have any shares of. The, you know, 1.28 whip isn't great as a starter. He does have a little bit better strikeout stuff, so I do agree with you there. But yeah, I don't know. I don't hate it. I think I'd rather take him than Quinn Priester, just because again, there's a little bit more strikeout upside with Chad Patrick. But yeah, I'm for fantasy so far this year, I don't have any shares of him either. So.
So first off, we're going to continue the show, but if you're drafting against Fish, you know, if he's drafting next to you, you don't have to worry about him getting sniping you on a Brewer. We got that going for us, but that's also boded well in the last couple of years if you're a Brewers fan. So let's just keep this in line. But you mentioned Logan Henderson, and I think we could all agree, like, when he was pitching, it was awesome, and there was times where, like, why is he still in AAA conversations? Then he got it hurt, and that kind of just derailed everything. He's supposed to be ready for opening day and back, but we'll see. His ADP is 270. Like, I have questions if he's even healthy enough to go, but I guess at 270, it's not the end of the world for the upside he brings, but I still have a lot of questions with Henderson. I wonder your thoughts here.
I don't understand why they sent him down last year. It makes no sense. The guy's absolutely cruising. If you want to save innings or something, then why are you wasting them in the minors? Like, just shorten his outings then. But I don't know, it made no sense to me. As far as this year, again, it's a common theme. I'm out. I mean, he's fully healthy, okay, but if he didn't get any type of a surgery or anything, I don't know exactly what the issue was in the first place, but obviously it shut him down for the year. So now he's just automatically like good to go. Like, I don't know. I don't see it. Again, he's going to be on some sort of an innings limit. So I'm not messing with these types of guys that have issues coming into the season. Again, they say he's got a clean bill of health. I don't believe it. Yeah. I hope he does, but you know, I don't think I'll be having any Logan Henderson.
Yeah, I have not drafted any Logan Henderson yet. That's why, because I love the talent, but I have so many questions surrounding what his health is, what his role is, and so on and so forth. All right, let's talk bullpen then, because this one is just like every draft room is trying to figure out what to do with good old Trevor Megill and Abner Uribe. Over the last 7 days, McGill's going at 114, Uribe 124. We saw how the bullpen was working through the playoffs when they were both in the back of the bullpen. It was a Uribe's world, but I don't know. I think we could see a lot of – well, I think McGill could get it so they could trade him. I don't know. But what's your thoughts on how this bullpen plays out?
I have no idea. Again, like, I think McGill is still going to get traded, but we're already into February, so I would have thought it already would have happened. So I don't know if they're just waiting for the best offer or what they're going to do, but their MO is usually to trade – someone like this. But until that happens, I can't draft Abner Uribe. I got a couple shares like Gladiators and stuff like that of Abner Uribe, but I just at the it's okay. Here's what's gonna happen. If McGill gets traded, Uribe is going way up. He's gonna go up to probably around like the Bednar range, I would guess. He's gonna go way, way up because he's got huge K upside, elite ratios, and he's gonna get a ton of saves. But if McGill, where he's going now, if McGill doesn't get traded and is a closer, it's a complete wasted pick. So I'm just kind of avoiding the situation. I'm definitely off of McGill because I don't have too many concerns about performance wise, but he can't seem to stay healthy either. So I'm just kind of fading the whole Brewers situation in the bullpen. So
That's what I've done this whole draft season, and I'm like frustrated because I want to take Uribe because of the ceiling you're talking about. Like, he is that good. It's just I don't know if I can trust him to have the job as long as McGill's sitting there, and I feel like they want McGill to have the job again. So it's my two cents, which take that as far as you'd like, but it makes it very frustrating, especially in a market where closers are so high. If you can get that Uribe that, like you said, is going to shoot the moon, but get him before he shoots to the moon, that's outstanding. And it's just a big, big, big what if, and it could burn you to your point as well. Any other pitchers we should keep in mind? Like, I've always, you know, got a soft spot for like an Aaron Ashby, but obviously he's just a middle reliever right now, so that doesn't do a whole lot. D.L. Hall in a similar role. You got Brandon Sproat, who you got that came over from the Peralta deal. You mentioned innings are going to be tough with this rotation. Like, they're going to need guys to step up. Is there someone else we should like at least keep an eye on?
Robert Gosser was always a guy that I liked. But again, he came off the injury. He did throw a little bit, you know, last year, 32 innings in the minors, a little over five innings in the majors. And he was good. Yeah, his minors numbers were good, but his, you know, five innings in the majors, so it doesn't really matter. But again, he's going to be on a huge innings limit. So to draft the in fab leagues, like, there's no way I'm drafting any of these guys. But in a DC, I could maybe see taking a shot on Gosser, because maybe towards the end of the season, you know, maybe we've lost a couple guys to injury. Maybe Gosser's now worked up, built up, and is able to go five, maybe six innings in some games, and can get you some numbers. But I don't know. They have a lot of, like, now they lost Freddie Peralta, so now they have a ton of, like, SP3s and 4s. So I don't know what they're going to do. They're going to mix and match them. There could be, like, piggybacks. There could be all sorts of things going on. So they got a lot of mouths to feed, but none are elite. So
they're going to sign Framber Valdez is what they're going to do, just to really shake things up. No, I'm kidding.
If they did that, I think the Brewers fan base would they'd be happy, and they'd also be pissed off, because why would we get rid of Freddie Peralta if we're paying somebody else? Yeah,
I'm with you. For those wondering, Gasser's ADP is 517 over the last 7 days. So, like you said, DCs, that'll play. Any other prospects to potentially keep an eye on? Like I mentioned, Sprout, he'll probably get some run at some point in time. I call him Jesus made. He called him Jesus Made, which is probably the correct way to say it. he feels like he's still a year or so away. I might be wrong. Maybe he gets a shot this year. But anybody worth that might show up this year and give us some run?
I mean, I like Andrew Fisher, but I don't know what their plan is for him. I don't know what they're going to do with the Ortiz situation. If Ortiz struggles, like, do they obviously got Jet Williams? He probably gets the first crack, but like, what if Jet Williams isn't performing in the minors or something? Can they move Durbin over to short? Can, you know, Andrew Fisher come up and do something? You know, he was a college bat. So again, though, he doesn't have a whole lot of experience. He was only in high A last year. So I don't know. I don't see anybody really truly worth drafting. Brock Wilkin was always a guy that I kind of liked too, but you know, again, I don't know. I'm basically staying away from all these minor leaguers in general. In drafts, I stay away from minor leaguers, so it's not just Brewers players. So yeah, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I would say the only guy I would say would be Jet Williams. It'd be worth taking a shot, like, you know, in DCs and stuff like that. Fab leagues, I don't think is anybody worth stashing or anything like that. So just DCs, yeah.
And I'm with you. I don't do a whole lot of prospect drafting for the most part when I do mine. So I'm there. But yeah, there's a bunch of like kind of mediocre names, but nothing stands out to me when I look at their system. Because like Jefferson Carroll obviously is blocked, one might say. So that's not happening, so on and so forth. All right. Last question I have for you then. This will be good. I'm looking forward to this. What are your expectations for the 2026 Milwaukee Brewers?
Well, I hope it's just the consistent theme of overperforming, because if you look at it on paper, it's just not, it's not sexy. It's not sexy at all. So the bullpen's fine. I think the bullpen would be all right. I would like to see them keep McGill, just because I think he's better than anybody else they'd bring in. So I would like to keep that. I always liked the fact that the Brewers generally have always had a good ninth and eighth inning guy. So I've always liked that. Just shortens the game. You know, when you don't have as good a starting pitching as your opponents, you got to have a better bullpen. So I do like that. I think they're going to play their game offensively. Small ball, tons of infield hits. It's not going to be a lot of power again. I think they can compete for the division again. I don't see why they can't. Obviously, losing Freddie Peralta is a huge loss, but they always seem to overperform, and I hope that they do that again.
Yeah, I'll be rooting for him. I like the Central's good. I like the Cubs are always entertaining, at least from fantasy standpoints. I know you don't want to hear that. The Reds have improved this year. Like, their rotation's actually the best I've seen in a long time for them. Like, their 1-5 is serviceable indeed. Obviously, question marks. But, and then, like you said, the Brewers, they just keep doing it. And the Cardinals are going to compete with the White Sox for the worst record in history, I think, at this pace. So it's pretty much a 3-team race because the Pirates, yeah, they might be a little better. Like, they are getting better, but let's just be real on that one. So yeah, it's still the 3-team race in the Central. I think it'll be pretty tight when things are all said and done. So we'll see if the Brew Crew there. I have a lot of Wisconsin friends. So we'll see how that one plays out. But Fish, thanks for joining me as always. We'll catch up in a few weeks, but we'll have to chat again sometime. Talk some more fantasy. Find some players you're interested in.
Yeah, sounds good. Maybe next year.
Yeah.
Nah. All right. Thanks for having me, Bub. I appreciate it. It was fun as always to discuss the old Brew Crew.
Yep, it is good. It's a good team. It's just, yeah, it's like, trust me, if I had to preview the Giants right now, it wouldn't be great. So, everybody, check out Fish on all this. What do you call the segment again? I screwed it up.
Big Fish in a Small Pond.
Big Fish. How did I screw that? I really screwed that up. Good Lord. Big Fish in a Small Pond. That's why I'm not an FSWA nominee, Zach. There you go. Big Fish in a Small Pond. But go check all that stuff out. Fish is the man. And this was Bench with Bubba, episode 827, your Brewers 2026 season preview. Catch y'all next time.